Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to Handy Link, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this next segment of our show, we'll hear from Nicole Danio. She'll be giving us an update on her adapted yoga program. So tell me a little bit about what's been happening lately with the yoga program.
Thank you, as always, Cam.
Of course.
Things are wonderful, and I just envision that they're going to continue to grow and build. I was just speaking to you briefly before the interview about how the current John McGivney class is winding down, and they usually run a few classes per year. So if your listeners want to participate in another class there, they can stay following your show and my website, cocoyoga.ca. But always ongoing are my classes at the Jackson Park Health Center. And I would like to talk to your listeners today about those classes because they're very unique and really, really cool. They're back-to-back classes. One is at 11:15 on Saturday mornings. And then following that at 12:30 is another class. The 12:30 class is an assisted yoga class. And it's just a really phenomenal class with a really interesting group of participants who come now. It's a small number of students, and not everybody comes each week. So there's plenty of room for people to come and try it out and see what it's all about. Ideally, it's a class that's attended by a duo, like a person and their assistant. And both of those participants learn lots of yoga. There's a lot of individual practice, but then there's also the two together working so that the student who needs some assistance, for example, they might be in their wheelchair or opting to stay seated, or they use a walker, or we're able to get them on the ground, but they maybe can't do everything on their own independently. That assistant, I'm teaching them really safe ways in terms of their own body, you know, healthy, strong ways to use your own body as an assistant for that student who needs a bit of help with certain movements. And so it's a really cool class. Participants have very deep, severe scoliosis, lordosis. There's a couple of women with cerebral palsy. There's just a really one woman who's been injured and has some paralysis. There's just a very interesting group, and it's of all ages because everybody could benefit. Someone might bring their elderly relative and help them get some movement, or someone with a very small child could learn some different ways to help that child get movement. So it's not limited in terms of age range. But basically, it's the independence factor. And then the 11:15 class, which, as you know, has been running for several years, yes. It's for people who maybe need some modification with their yoga, and they are more independent. We can do bigger movements, and they don't need that assistant. So it's kind of, you know, maybe a progression. You know, once you learn some of the assisted movements, you could feel more independent in that class. But it's a really great duo of classes in terms of, you know, back to back. I'm there those Saturdays. It's a very therapeutic room. There's mats and pillows and dim lighting, and you know, I do my different healing massages out of that space. So if there's people who are looking for that modified yoga, assisted yoga, Saturday mornings at the Jackson Park Health Center is where it's all really been strongly happening for a long time now. So all that information also is on my website. And I would love for people to maybe come and check that out if they've been curious about it. So thank you so much for the chance to kind of explain what goes on those classes.
My pleasure. So you mentioned you've had a lot in the assisted class that are coming in with a range of disabilities.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about the progress they've made and what sort of strides they've made?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely strides toward walking independently or you know, better walking movements with a walker. Movements, you know, the core strength and the muscle extension needed for walking movements. So, you know, if you're in a chair, and this goes for all of us, right? We're all in chairs too much these days. But if you're bound to a wheelchair for a big part of your day, your limbs are going to atrophy, they're going to shorten, you're going to lose the core. So it's a lot about core strength, extension, full range of motion of the joints, and it's just a patient, slow, steady, accepting, very fun practice. We laugh a lot, we breathe a lot, we relax, we maintain a nice balance between effort and strength, and then just relaxing and you know, kind of coming through some of the tension. So there's just been tremendous strides. Literally, you know, walking, being able to stand when you haven't done that since you were 7 years old. Lots of great stories like that. Feeling more confident. You know, everything from that to, you know, better sleeps at night. And for the parents and caregivers, there's always the comments of, you know, how much more time they have to themselves in terms of they're not helicoptering over worrying about someone toppling or not being able to, you know, get dressed by themselves or tuck their own selves into bed. The parents and caregivers are telling me that there's so much more of that kind of independence. So it just gives the caregivers so much more space and confidence and chance for themselves to breathe, you know, when they know, okay, she's putting her own jammies on. You know, she's tucking herself into bed and I'm in the other room relaxing. That's just a really peaceful place to be where, you know, there's some of that independence and confidence being built.
So are there any challenges in putting together a yoga program that is accessible?
I don't really think of challenges. I just see all of these programs as building so organically and patiently. You know, what started as one trial class way back in 2012 when I tried out a class, a modified yoga class for people who had some disabilities, some intellectual and physical disabilities. And that now over these last number of years has just, you know, in a trickle effect, word of mouth, getting past barriers, like, you know, people just getting out of their heads that they'll never be able to do this. That's not for me. You know, just those psychological barriers that everyone looking at trying yoga might face. It can look so challenging. It can look intimidating. And some of the practices are so subtle, things like the breathing, maybe even some of the chanting work, different humming and different subtle practices that maybe people think are weird or silly. But then you start to understand that those silly, weird, subtle practices, they help us on a subtle way. Clearing out your throat, opening up your lungs, helping your nerves just calm down a little bit in very subtle ways. So to open their minds and to just give it a try, I think those are the barriers for anyone who's looking to change their path and maybe say, you know what, I can do that. I can try that. There's modifications for me. Everybody can do it. And I guess it's just, you know, that those would be the biggest obstacles. One last thing, I've mentioned before in your interviews how helpful it's been when parents and caregivers have followed through and, you know, helped encourage a home practice and, you know, sign them up for everything they can, bring them to all the classes. That's a dedication on the parent's part. But on the other end of that, I guess one of my biggest challenges has been facing caregivers who don't have that patience or are saying out loud things like, he can't do that, she'll never be able to do that. Having that mindset, saying it out loud, repeating it, confirming it essentially, and giving up or just rolling their eyes and not having that patience, that's been a big challenge and barrier for everyone, right? And then I see it so quickly. 2-3 classes in, there's like a, oh, she can do that. Oh, okay, wait, you know, and it slowly has changed a number of people's minds where they thought, she'll never be able to do that. And then it's, oh my gosh, she's been doing that and is getting stronger and stronger. And what can she do next? You know, that's been a bit of a challenge. So everyone needs to just be patient and listen and not force anything and help make it fun and not something where it's like, you know, oh gosh, I got to do yoga now. You know, it's got to be a good attitude. It's got to be supportive and fun and lighthearted so that it can really happen.
Like, thank you for taking time out to do this. But if you can stay on.
I always appreciate it, Cam. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
WalkSafe Service is trying to make the campus a safer place by providing volunteers to accompany students, employees, or visitors at night to their vehicles or homes. To become a volunteer, please email walksafe@uwindsor.ca. To request a safe walking escort, please call 519-253-3000, extension 3504. To learn more, please visit facebook.com/WindsorWalkSafe.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from our friend Nicole Daigneault about her yoga program. In this segment of our show, we're going to hear about the accessibility need in Bolivia from missionary John Brown. So tell me a little bit about some of what you saw in terms of accessibility and need and your time in Bolivia.
Well, Bolivia doesn't have a lot of curbs or streets or handicapped areas. You don't see the amount of wheelchairs that you see here. You don't see buses like you see here that have access for handicap, and you don't see a lot of streets there in Bolivia the back roads are not paved like here. They don't have sidewalks, and they're basically dirt roads. The streets actually have no names.
So I would imagine that the impoverished conditions make accessibility all the harder.
But the accessibility, I guess their life to do in Bolivia, if you're disabled, you're basically going to be living inside of your hut. And from what I saw, the family members would take care of the ill.
So the church is engaging in a project to try to help one individual there. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, the nice part about a church is a church gives a very nice community, and people have a sense of pride and involvement. And it gives people who might sit around all day and have nothing to do a place to go serve, and you could see a lot of people coming to life, those that would serve.
So Lakeshore St. Andrews is looking at donating a prosthesis to someone in need there. Can you tell me a little bit about him?
Well, we met a gentleman named Pedro who had five children. And his house was one of the poorest of the poor, the poorest, and it was the most impoverished house I seen. And I got rather disgusted by the bathroom. I always thought you were to be a true missionary, you had to go and be and live in that culture. But seeing the bathroom conditions and what I have here in Bolivia, I'm too spoiled, and I don't know if I could actually last a week, which really challenged my character. Having to pee into a tire and to see all the bugs and the parasites, and that's where they would actually have their bowel movements in that with all the tires. But what I saw in Pedro is Pedro had a motorcycle accident, and he had lost a leg. And I had asked one of our translators if they had auto insurance like we have back home. And he says, yes, sir, there is minimal coverage that you have to have if you're riding a bike and if you're driving a motorcycle. So it is mandatory that you do have to have, but the insurance is so, would not cover the prosthetic leg like it would over here in Canada. So Pedro had five children who were living in his house. They were, I believe, two boys and three girls. And they would help out with the chores. Pedro was 3 years out of his car accident, and me having a car accident myself, I asked him how his nightmares were. And poor Pedro, because I had a lot of nightmares myself after having my accident, poor Pedro was having those type of nightmares. And you could see that as a man who is to provide for his family, who had his wife that was 6 months being in Chile, working, sending home a paycheck to take care of the family, he was really struggling being a man, being unable to provide for his family.
And I'm guessing there aren't a lot of opportunities for those with mobility issues in terms of work in that area.
No, unlike here, where people will tend to work with a leg, but I would assume because Bolivia had tax, I didn't ask the man the question, but Bolivia has taxis, which are motorcycles on a neighborhood. And they put about, they'll put five people on a bike and they bring them from the back parts of the road and they bring them up to the main road where they can get another taxi. So I would assume that this man now, because of his leg, his income was taken away from him. And now he has to stay at home. You could see he had a sense of hopelessness.
So if you could send any one message to people like him to talk about how there is hope for greater accessibility, and through these missions that we can make a difference. What would you say?
Yeah, I would say that, as a collective group of the church, there, as we met and we discussed Pedro's situation, people thought, well, if we could get him a leg and make him more mobile, it might help him feel more worthy. My only concern was that I don't know if the leg would cure Pedro and make him feel worthy, because we need to find hope from the one that gives us life, is my belief. But our pastor, Brad, assured me that he would be calling compassion and seeing what his need was, and if we could fulfill his need to buy him a leg, which is, I would guess, the people, our translator said that a leg there would probably be about $5,000. And this hopefully will give him hope where he can be more mobile and he won't have to walk on one leg with a crutch.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. Such a remarkable gift, my friends, to be able to give that man a chance at a better life, especially around this time of year. Fact is, it's very easy for any of us to say, yeah, the insurance here is great, it'll cover my expenses if anything happens to me. But I think the holidays and missionary work in general reminds us to think beyond ourselves, to recognize the needs of others, whether they have a disability, whether they come from a different place, they look a little different, they move a little different, they speak a little different, makes no difference. Fact is, people are people. We are all made of the same stuff. And by giving an opportunity to someone, you're saying, equality is not something that I'm going to take lightly. My ideals will match my actions. Sounds like a lofty goal, raising money so this man will have a chance to walk again. Might be a difficult task, and for one person alone, yes, might be closer to impossible. But getting people together in common cause, recognizing this person, no matter where they may be, has the right and the potential to thrive and to succeed. That is the greatest gift you can give somebody. At any time, particularly the holidays, it's a wonderful thing to be doing, because you can say, I'm going to give you this because I believe in a better future, a better horizon. And I want you to experience that. John was very right that it's easy to look upon the conditions of poverty and lack of access these people live in and to be disgusted. But what's really the thing to be disgusted by is anyone who would walk by without at least taking the time to ask the simple question, is there anything I can do to make this better? Is there any way that we can improve things? Yeah, it might start a conversation. Yeah, you might hear a little bit of somebody's story. You might even have to take action to help somebody else. But are we really so limited in our thinking that the world begins and ends with us? That seems to be a common attitude these days. Especially with the economic climate. People think, I have this, this is good for me, I don't need to know anything, my phone will think for me, I don't need to adapt to anything, I don't need to grow in my analysis of what this world is really made of. But there are those who think outside themselves, who take the impossible, who take those preconceived notions the world can't be any better than it is. And they turn it right on its face. They say, I know the world can be better because I can help make it so. And whether it's modifying an athletic program or just giving greater self-respect and opportunity to someone in need, fact is, it's always worth it. A person should never be denied the chance to explore their potential or their possibilities in this world if there is anything we can do about it. Amazingly enough, there are still people suffering from leprosy in the world. When I hear that, I'm frankly baffled. We can cure it for a couple of bucks, so why don't we? Why is it so easy to rest on our laurels? And I put it to you that the gifts we give, no matter where in time we do it, they last a lifetime. It's a moment of self-respect for a person with a disability. They carry that with them. One of my favorite guests, Samantha Newmarch, long ago, just held the door for a person who had a mobility issue. But I would venture to say that on some level, that person recognized they were being respected, and maybe even without even realizing it, carried the confidence and the strength of that moment with them. Because when you build somebody up, they gain from it. They learn their value in this world. Tear somebody down, they're more reluctant to try again. But the world is an ever-growing place, full of people who are learning and seeking to improve just their wisdom, finding new ways of doing things. Thinking outside the box is key, folks. Go to another place, see what the world can be. Share the best of what you are and what you have to offer with your fellow human beings. Even if it's just listening to their story, it may be the first time somebody's ever done that. And that person might suddenly come to a place where they know, with a disability or not, that they are not here by accident, that they are not just some cause that we placate out of a sense of obligation. They are a person of strength, dignity, and character, and that they can and should change the world. It's only limiting ourselves by saying, I know everything about the world, and I know all there is about accessibility. Learn more. Ask questions. Don't be afraid. Sure, for Pedro, wherever he is, it must have come as quite a shock. A group of people thousands of miles away simply saying, can I help you? Can I be there for you? That must have been such a moment. And the fact that they came back a little better in their understanding, carrying that wisdom and the ability to do something good by that man. I hope they do succeed. I hope they're able to do so. And I hope Pedro is able to walk again and just appreciate the richness and the fullness, not only his own community, but to branch out and to see other parts of the world. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.